Earlier this month, the U.S. Supreme Court voted 5-4, rejecting the Trump administration's attempt to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as DACA. The program has stopped the deportation of 700,000 undocumented young adults. In Hawaii, there are an estimated 4,000 Dreamers and over 800 Hawaii residents who have been granted DACA status over the last 5 years. Some have been helped with a legal clinic, the Honolulu-based nonprofit, which provides free to low-cost immigration legal services, education, and advocacy. One of those is Bree, a DACA recipient from a Latin American country, who asked that we not use her full name, as doing so could put her family at risk. She spoke to Jason Ubai, who's with the conversation, about being a DACA recipient.
I have been living in the United States since I was 5 years old. I came to Hawaii about 3 years ago to attend college here. My family came to the United States to pursue opportunity and to give me a better life, just like many parents want for the children. When I was in high school, I actually found out that I was undocumented. A lot of my friends were getting ready to apply for driver's license and to get their first jobs. And I realized that I couldn't do that quite yet. So this led to me having conversations with my mom and my family about our immigration status in this country and how we're going to live with that. And like many families, my family endured many struggles. There was a point, though, that I realized that a lot of my experiences were connected to my immigration status and politics. For example, growing up, we really didn't have stability. I attended about 6 different schools before I was 11, which is a lot of schools for a child to have to adapt to. And this was because my parents worked in the dairy and fields in Central California, and their employers saw them, those immigrant workers, as dispensable, even though they were essentially the foundation of one of the biggest economies in California. But their work was so uncertain that oftentimes we just had to get up and move to the next place where my parents could find work. And that's really how I ended up going to so many schools at a young age and having to start over so much when I was younger. But when I was old enough to understand really the implications of my immigration status, my parents talked to me about the possibility of my family being separated if we ever had any encounters with ICE. And that was very daunting for me to hear as, you know, a teenage child. ICE was rarely in my town. But when I knew that they were in town, you know, and I would receive a call from one of my parents or any family members, my heart would really start racing. And so, yeah, those are just some of my experiences, you know, living here in the United States and my experiences as a young immigrant.
Why did you decide to move to Hawaii and attend the school here?
Well, I decided to move here because originally I wanted to study marine biology. And the area where I lived in California was very conservative, and their disdain for immigrants was very obvious, and I just felt very unwelcome there. And I felt like I couldn't really thrive in a place like that, and I couldn't really pursue higher goals in a place like that. And coming here to Hawaii has really opened up so many opportunities for me, and it has allowed me to really contribute more to my community than I was able to in the town where I grew up. Coming to Hawaii for school was different because California does have more opportunities for DACA recipients when it comes to financial aid and things like that. However, recently, Amy Agbayani, who is a board member of the legal clinic, worked on a policy that allowed DACA recipients to receive resident tuition, so we wouldn't have to be considered out-of-state students because we have been living in the United States for most of our lives. And so that made college a little bit more affordable for me. I do think that there's a long ways to go in Hawaii for DACA recipients, but I'm glad to be here and be part of those efforts. DACA stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and it is a United States policy that allows some individuals that were brought to the country as children to work legally and to be protected from deportation, but this is for a two-year period only. We DACA recipients have to pay about $500 every 2 years to reapply for the status so that we can continue to work legally and to be protected from deportation for 2 years. In order to be eligible for this program, we have to fulfill a very extensive list of requirements, which include being in the United States before your 16th birthday, having to have lived in the United States since June 15 of 2007. We have to have graduated or received a GED or be currently in school, or we have to be an honorably discharged veteran of the Coast Guard or Armed Forces. We also have to have a very clean record. People often would say, will say that, you know, we're criminals and, you know, just make up these things. But in reality, we have to have a very clean record in order to be eligible for something like this. And we have to go through all of this just to receive a two-year deferral from deportation and a two-year work permit, essentially. We have to reapply every 2 years. And then we never know when our next opportunity to reapply will be, because DACA is frequently is being threatened. So we never know when we're going to, if we're going to be able to renew or not. But yes, we do have to plan to renew every 2 years. And we have to keep a good record, and all of those things still have to be fulfilled every time you renew.
So there was a recent Supreme Court ruling on DACA. I mean, how did you feel when this ruling came down to strike down the Trump administration's challenge to the program?
Well, leading up to the decision, I was actually very worried. You know, it was constantly looming over just my life, because, you know, this DACA status really allows me to do so much in my community and just in my personal life, professionally, all of those things. And if that were to be taken away, it would really just impact my whole life and turn it upside down. So when I found out about the decision, I was just really ecstatic. I was so, I really thought it could go either way, but thankfully the majority of the Supreme Court voted in favor of DACA. And I found out about the news at about 4 a.m. and I was able to really just sigh in relief, because my status is secure and, you know, my family will have one less stressor for the time being. And that decision also means that I will be able to continue working and helping out in my community here in Oahu.
Now, I know the ruling itself was focused on the administrative aspects of how it came about, so it did leave the door open for future challenges. Can you tell me, what are your concerns about that, and how can this become more of a permanent law and program?
Yes, I believe right after the decision came out, the president did put out, you know, he tweeted saying that he was going to try to dismantle DACA again. And I feel like a lot of us DACA recipients at this point are so used to the uncertainty and used to, you know, constantly fighting to keep DACA in place. So, you know, we had a sigh of relief. It was a temporary win, but we know what to expect. We know that we're always going to have to keep fighting for DACA, which is why a lot of us are actually fighting to pass the DREAM Act, which is a policy or is a law that will actually give us a path to citizenship. So DACA is temporary. It only allows us to have a work permit for 2 years, and it gives us a two-year deferral from deportation. But with the DREAM Act, H.R. 6, that would allow us to actually apply for citizenship and be able to, you know, have a little bit more stability in this country.
What do you think people should know if, you know, they don't agree with this program and want to see it dismantled?
Well, what I've heard from, you know, certain people is that there's a lot of misconceptions around DACA. They believe that we are just taking benefits from the American people. They believe that we're just here to take jobs or to receive benefits, but none of that is true. We're actually taxpayers ourselves. We contribute to society just like anybody else. We're teachers, we're healthcare workers. We contribute to our communities in any way that we can. And we're also paying taxes just like anybody else. You know, the IRS doesn't discriminate when it comes to money. So they're taking money from all of us. So we're doing our part just like anybody else is doing. And I think that a lot of people are against DACA or just immigrants in general because they don't understand that we're also contributing just like anybody else.
You've been hearing from Bree, a DACA recipient now living in Hawaii. For immigrants looking for legal resources, visit our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.